great all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us just go to the reading of the words. That is in Jude chapter 1. Jude 1.
Jude is at 1.
Just verse 3.
Verse 3.
God bless you, Matebula. Wonderful to see you. Amen. Jude 1 verse
3.
It reads in this manner, he found. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
Amen.
Okay. Let's close our eyes.
Most
gracious Heavenly Father, we are very much thankful this evening to approach your throne of mercy. We've read a portion of a scripture, believing that you wrote the scriptures and believing that you are your own interpreter when it comes to the Holy Scriptures. And that is why you have been divinely invited into this meeting, dear God, because we are not allowed to speak about the book unless the author is present.
Amen.
And Lord, I know when the author is present, he is going to revelate us. He is going to heal us. He is going to enlighten us. That is why your presence is very critical this evening. Yes. If your presence is not here, this is just an ordinary gathering that should not even have taken place. But if your presence is here, it is bound to be beneficial to us spiritually. You made a promise that wherever two or three are gathered and are gathered in your name, you made a personal commitment that you'll be in their midst. Amen. I believe this evening you are here, dear God. Touch everyone that is here in a very special way, that when they go back home, everyone should be rejoicing in their hearts and say, now I know my Maker better, as we commit everything to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
While you take your seat. Amen. I just want to speak on contending for the faith. Amen. To contend for the faith. The way to contend, it means to struggle to overcome a difficulty. Amen.
Amen.
Or to assert something as a position in an argument. Amen. Or to take a position in relation to a matter. When Jude wrote this, it was around AD 66, which was 33 years after Pentecost. Amen. Pentecost had happened. The church had gone forth, and then he wrote this text 33 years later. Amen. That's why he said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation,
Ingawo atbalile ukuthi uma nginikele ngakho konke ukuthi ngizobhala ngayinsindiso esinayo ngofana sonke.
It was needful for me to write unto you.
Bokudingakalile kimina ukuthi nginibhalele nani.
When somebody say it is needful that I write unto you, that means he has assessed a situation and so a need to write to them.
Uma othile athi kunesidingo sokuthi nginibhalele okusho ukuthi usihlolile leso simo leso wabona isidingo sokuthi abhale.
And exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith.
Wathi futhi ngiyaniyala ukuthi nincintisanele ukukholwa.
Which was once delivered unto the saints.
Okuwanikezwa abangcwele.
Amen. Contend for that faith.
Kulwelweni lokukholwa lokho.
The prophet says the book of Jude, it was written in AD 66.
Umprofeti uthi incwadi uJude ibhalwe ngo AD
33 years after Pentecost.
Emva kweminyaka 33 emva kwePentecost.
Amen. We know that Jude was a foster brother to Jesus Christ.
Siyamazi ukuthi uJuda ubengabumfowabo kaJesu.
His brothers first didn't believe on him.
Abafowabo bakaJesu azange bakholwe nguye
qaleni. But after a while they did.
Emva kwaloko bakwenza bakholwa kuyena.
And Jude the prophet said Jude is a prophet.
Umprofeti uthi uJude ungumprofeti.
But he wrote a very short letter here.
Kodwa ubhale indaba ubhale incwadi encane la.
Which has always been recognized by the church to be inspired.
Ibandla elalihlale ibone njengencwadi eqhuzelwe.
He was a prophet.
Ube ngumprofeti.
He was foretelling here.
Ubebikezela izinto.
Correcting the church.
Eqondisa futhi ibandla.
As it was written to all the churches throughout the age.
Njengoba yalotshelwa amabandla wonke obekhona ezikhathini.
And the prophet say, I believe specifically.
Umprofeti uthi ngiyakholwa maqondana.
To this church of this age.
Sikhuluma ngaleli bandla nalesi sikhathi siphila kusona.
Amen. Are we together?
Amen.
Now he continues, he says.
Uyaqhubeka uthi.
Look what they had back there.
Uthi bheka ukuthi bebanani emuva.
What the church contended for.
Ibandla lokhu elakulwela.
And what they had lost.
Futhi balahlekelwa yini.
Now just 33 years after the beginning of the church.
Emva kwaminyaka u33 emva kokuqala kwebandla.
You know Jude wouldn't be talking about back in the Old Testament under the Levitical laws.
Uyazi uJude beyangabe angeke akhulume eTestamentini elidala ngaphansi kwemithetho yamaLeviti.
He is a Christian.
UngumKristu.
He was talking about the first church was set in order.
Ubekhuluma ngebandla elaqala ukubekwa endaweni.
Was inaugurated on the day of Pentecost.
Lagcotshwa ngomhla wePentecost.
Now you'll notice what kind of a faith that they had.
Uzobona ukuthi uhlobo njalo lokholwa bebanalo.
You cannot know what faith to contend for unless you know what faith it is.
Angeke ukwazi ukukholwa okufanele ukulwele uma ungakwazi ukholwa okufanele kube yikona.
It has to be established what type of faith.
Kosele kuvele ukuthi kahle kahle ukholwa okunjani.
And then you will know which faith to contend for.
Uzokwazi ukuthi uzolwela ukukholwa okunjani.
I believe when Jude wrote this text.
Ngiyakholwa uma Jude ebhala le ndaba.
After the Pentecost.
Emva komhla wePentecost.
Just 33 years later.
Emva kweminyaka u-33.
The church was beginning to be derailed.
Ibandla laseliqala ukuphambuka.
From the faith that it was once delivered unto the saints.
Ekholweni okwanikezwa abangcwele.
Now he was calling to the believers.
Ubebiza amakholwa.
That let us contend.
Athi ake silweni.
For the faith that was once delivered unto the saints.
Silwele lokukholwa okwanikeza abangcwele eqaleni.
And when it means contend.
Uma uthi ukulwela.
That means it to preserve.
Ukuze ukuthi ukugcina.
Hallelujah. To protect.
Ukuvikela.
What was once given unto the saints.
Oko lokhu kwanikezwa abangcwele.
It can never be preserved or be protected unless it is deemed to be precious.
First,
we've got to understand what it is. The second thing that we've got to understand is how precious it is. Then it will energize us to contend for it. No, we'll notice what kind of a faith that they had. They had a faith in a resurrected living Christ. Hallelujah. Christ had come, died, buried, and rose. And they believed in him and were called Christians. But as time goes by, they began to drift away from the very person that they were called to believe in. Now when Jude saw that, he wanted to bring them in remembrance as to why have they been called and what does their faith entail. I don't know whether this even, do you think is it necessary to contend for the faith again? Do you think the devil is coming against our faith? Do you think the devil wants to us to forget in whom we have believed in?
Oh,
my brothers, maybe let me stop here. Christ is the central point of our worship. If you have missed him, you have missed worship. Hallelujah. And a lot of times when you miss him, you get engulfed in traditions. And when you get engulfed in traditions, your faith becomes numb. Hallelujah. But we have been called to believe in him. This evening, I would want to esteem Christ to be above everything. The problem today, we want to present our group. We want to present our church. We want to present our beliefs. But I can say this evening, from the beginning it was not so. Hallelujah. In the beginning they believed in him. When the ministry of Jesus was started, there was a popular phrase during that time. We have found him. It moved from lip to lip. Everybody had to experience finding him. And once you have found him, you can consider yourself to be a worshiper. But today, I don't know what are we finding. But I believe God must bring us back to where we were, where we can say we have found him. This evening, I don't want you to find the church. I don't want you to find me as a pastor. But I want you to find him. Because to find him is life. And to know him is life. And this ministry, let us not forget the essence of this ministry. From 1947 until
1965,
the theme of the ministry was for the prophet to introduce him. This message is the introduction of Jesus Christ in the end time. And this evening, if I could speak to you without introducing him, I've done an injustice to the ministry of the hour. And if you can come to church without knowing him, it is an injustice to the ministry. What does it mean to find him? And what does it mean to know him? It means that the same life that was in him has got to find a way into you. It's not our faith, it's his faith. It's not our weight, it's his weight. So this evening, it has to be him stepping into you to continue believing what he has spoken. They had a faith in a resurrected living Christ. I want to emphasize, not just in Christ, but the resurrected living Christ. How do you know that he's alive? How can you prove that he's alive? You can read, but reading doesn't prove it. You can sing about him, it doesn't prove it. You can talk about him, it doesn't prove it. The only proof that he's alive is when he's alive in your heart. So this evening, the ultimate goal, it must not just be to hear about him. I can tell you, if you hear about him, you will hear about him, but at some point in time, you will fail. You can talk about him, and at some point in time, you will fail. But if he himself lives in your heart, it's unto eternity. I hope we are together. They had a faith in a resurrected living Christ. Someone who rose from the dead and was living among them. Just the same as he was before he ever died. So see, they were not contending for some historical affair. Hallelujah. And I believe a denomination is just a group of people that rehearse the memories of the Bible. This evening, I don't want to rehearse the memories. It's great I can speak about the God that opened the Red Sea. I can speak about the God that made the whole crumble. I can talk about the God that delivered the Hebrew children in the fire. But once I'm done, it's just memories. And you can never fight the devil with a memory. The devil is real, it's present tense. A memory is not a solution for the devil. But I need an introduction. I need an announcement. That's the very same one that opened the Red Sea. The same one that delivered the Hebrew children. This evening, he is accessible. And not only accessible, but he can come into me and protect me as he's living in me. Friends, let me say this to you. Let it not be a historical affair. Hallelujah. A historical affair is of no use. And I can take it back into your doorstep, you the message believer. Just talking about the God that walked with Brother Branham. It's a historical affair. Any person can read it and recite it. Hear me out here. This is 2016. The devil has evolved. His weapons have evolved. His schemes have evolved. I need a God that can bring a combat against the devil in present tense. Hallelujah. If the devil has got a scheme for 2016, let me have a God for
a plan from God for
2016.
Hallelujah. When the Hebrew children got into the fire, the testimony that he opened the Red Sea wasn't going to help them. We needed a God that can make the chemical elements of the fire not to be harmful. When Brother Branham was around here, you know the Brother Branham, when he looked it down and looked in 1977, he said, I saw a blackout. And I said, I couldn't see anything beyond 1977. Are you here this evening? I couldn't see anything beyond 1977. When the prophet looked as a man, down the line, and saw 1977, in his mind, nothing holy could survive beyond 1977. As a human being, today we are in 2016. But I want to say to you, in this dark age, in this evil age, where the prophet could not see the light, there is a revealed word of the hour that will bring a combat against the table. Are you here, believers? Are you here, believers? And he types it in the message of the countdown. And say there was a time where, is it the turkey baggy age? It evolved from there. Then we came into the automobile age. And then we evolved from there. Which is the automobile age? You can say it was during the time of Luther and Wesley. And now from that time, it evolved from the automobile age. Then it became an age of aeroplane, which was the Pentecostal age. But in our time, Brother Bram says, do you know that you are an astronaut? You are a spiritual astronaut. It goes higher than an airplane. And I want to say, when the devil comes like a flash, God will always raise a standard. So in the end time, as much as we are in this dark and evil age, I want to say God is raising a standard. Hallelujah. God is re-energizing our faith. So it is not some historical affair, but they were contending for a living Christ, a resurrected one who was in their midst. Hallelujah. And today, that's what we need to contend for. We live during a difficult time, folks. If you don't know who you are, you will be blown by every wind of doctrine. In the message, 2 Timothy chapter 4,
or the
scripture, see it, 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says to Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhaust with all suffering and doctrine. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. Are we during that time, folks, where people don't want to endure sound doctrine? What is the sound doctrine? I believe that a sound doctrine for our time, it is the revelation of the Son of Man through a Son of Man. Hallelujah. This message is not just a bunch of quotations. This message is not a literature. This message is not just to get the people to come to church and narrate things from this book. This message is the Son of Man that you as a church must feed on. Do you believe that this evening? This message is the Son of Man. This message is the living Christ. This message, we must contend for this message. Are you here this evening? And I can put it on your doorstep. Anything that does not get affirmed by this message, it must be rejected. No matter how popular it is, we've got the message. This message is an arbiter. It is our ultimate in the end time. This message is a Urim Thummim in the end time. You can have a good dream, but it has the Urim Thummim must flesh. If it does not flesh, it is rejected. You can have a prophecy. If the Urim Thummim does not flesh, it must be rejected. You can have a testimony. If the Urim Thummim does not flesh, it must be rejected. How many believe this evening that the message of the hour, it is a Urim Thummim?
Amen.
I hope we are here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine will be unpopular, folks. We are heading towards the honing of the pyramid. The number is getting fewer. Are you here? This is not going to be by popular demand. As the time goes by, people will turn back or their backs on the sound doctrine. My question to you, will we be able to embrace it? Will we be able to embrace the message when it becomes unpopular? And I want to put it in this church. In my world, William Branham is not dwindling.
William Branham akanciphi.
He is still occupying his position as the prophet. He still has a say over my life. I will never outgrow the prophet. As long as the rapture has not taken place, he becomes relevant till I go home. Are you here this evening? For the time will come the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Hallelujah. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. I want to say especially to you young people, this gospel is not here to itch your ears. This gospel is not a fable, it is the truth. Hallelujah. And the gospel must still be able to get a hold of you and change you. If it doesn't change you, the most dangerous person is a person that is sympathetic to the gospel. That's the most dangerous person. That say, it's true. We really love it. It's wonderful. But no change. I would rather have somebody that say, that's not it. I don't believe in such. And when they have said that, the Holy Spirit visits them and convicts their hearts and says, the very thing that I rejected, now I realize it's nothing but the truth. Such a person there is a hope for. Are you here? This gospel, we need not to sympathize with it. We need to embrace it and change according to the way it dictates. Not to make the church happier, but to make our maker happier. Because you can make the church happy and still make God unhappy. But this evening, I would rather make the church unhappy, but make him happy. What is your decision this evening?
Amen.
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 I hope we are together.
Amen.
When the prophet was here, or throughout, even through the dark ages, and for some, we are not. We don't want to ridicule what people believe in. We may not, we don't agree with the system, but we believe that there are genuine people in the system. And sometimes when you attack the system, you must attack the system without attacking the people in the system. And we know that when Jesus came and called the disciples wherever they were, and they began to follow him, it was a mobile church. They did not have a physical structure. Sometimes they are on the river. Sometimes they are beyond the river. And they were just moving around. It was just a moving church. And as a result, that church, it had no creeds and dogmas. It had no its own rules. They were following the master. And after the master was captured and was killed and he was buried and resurrected, we find the church coming again. After they received the Holy Spirit, it was again a moving church. With no hierarchy, with no rules, man-made rules. They just preached the teaching of Christ. And one by one, disciples begin to die. And as they died, and then later, a church that was formed on experience or based on experience, now it was based on organization. Now it was no longer led by the Spirit, it was now led by men. It was no longer led by the weight, it was led by men's ideas. The weight was chucked out of the church. Creeds and dogmas made their way into the church. Now they formed an organization. And the first organization that was started after the last death of the last prophet, it was Roman Catholic. And we know that it was when it evolved from Roman Empire to Catholic. From paganism to papalism. And as it started there, we know what happened. There was a man that came, his name was was Martin Luther. He looked at what was happening through Pejitari. And then he decided this is not according to the word of God. He stood against the Catholic and called the people out of the Catholic system. And Martin Luther did not have an organization. He was being led by the Holy Spirit. I'm just taking you through what happened through the ages. And when the people left
today,
and rallied around Martin Luther, after he died, the very same people, history repeated itself, and then they formed the Roman Church, the Lutheran Church. That was similar to Catholic. Now we see again God raising John Wesley. And as he raised John Wesley, people left, they came out of Lutheran system, and they rallied around John Wesley. And as they rallied around John Wesley, and then later John Wesley was taken off the scene, then they formed a church and they called it the Church of England, which later became Westland. Then God raised the Pentecostals through Azusa Street. It was God's move. And all of a sudden, the Pentecostals, they fell in the same trap. They denominated around their gifts. You had Assemblies of God, Baptists, and so forth. There was a time, if you remember, holiness amongst the Pentecostals surpassed every church group. And this evening I can tell you there are more clean people in Catholic than in Pentecostal.
Amen.
Pentecostal things that they do are shocking. Then God again sent a prophet according to Malachi 4 to restore the apostolic faith, the same faith that was once given unto the saints, the faith that is based on Jesus Christ, the faith that can produce holiness. Now these people, they moved out of the church and they called themselves the bread of Jesus Christ, and they followed the message of Malachi
4.
And as they followed that message, do you not think that history will repeat itself? The same trap that others fell into, won't this one fall into? And that's why this evening I want to bring a sense of vigilance. You've got to track how the enemy has evolved and things that the enemy has done, he will attempt to do again. And what will he try to do? The same with Catholic. You know, a priest once told the prophet and said that my church is right. I don't care what the Bible says. My church is the ultimate. We know that is not right. Don't you think that the spirit is again coming? I mean, I saw a preacher in the message, Brother Msizo was telling me about him, announcing in the church and saying, if you leave our church, then you are no longer part of the bride. Then I say, when has your church become the bride? Don't you see that it's a heresy that is coming back into the message? A superiority based on a church. Are you here this evening? To such an extent today, when the prophet says something, I've got to check what my church says. Let me tell you something something as a church here. You will have your preferences. You will have your way of seeing things. But if it is contrary to the prophet of the hour, no matter how good it is, it will not be accepted. Are you here? I'm talking to you as Lighthouse. I'm talking to you as Lighthouse. If you have ideas, have a way of seeing things, until such time you excommunicate other people because they don't worship with you, then you must know that there is a spiritual error in the church. This church is not the bride of Jesus Christ, but individuals in the church, they are part of the bride of Jesus Christ. This church has got three kinds of believers. There is a believer, there is a made believer, there is an unbeliever in the same church. I cannot say it's the bride, but the believers individually, they are part of the bride around the world. Every church has got three kinds of believers: a believer, a make believer, and an unbeliever. But the bride only has believers.
Amen.
And this evening I can ask, are you a member of this church? Or are you a member of the bride? And if you are just a member of this church, you are going to hell in a religious way. You need to migrate from being a church member to being a bride member. Are you here this evening?
Amen.
And the problem today, we've got more church members and less bride members. That's why you see chaos that you see. That's why this evening, no matter how much you love the brother next to you, no matter how much you love the sister next to you, you don't know who they are. You just assume that they are believers until they show you otherwise. Your main aspiration must be to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Because along the way, people change, times change, but God doesn't change. Be like God.
Amen. Amen.
Are we together? Yes. This is a song. Do you know that today it's all about what my church says? Even if you read somebody a quotation, we at Lighthouse Tabernacle, we don't say it like that. Which came first, the Lighthouse Tabernacle or the prophet first? He says, in the midst of the anointed ones at the end time. Paragraph 91. I don't care what it is. If it's contrary to the written word for this hour, it's a lie.
Amanga.
God will have nothing to do with it. No matter how sincere, how educated, how smart, how true it sounds, how reasonable it sounds, if it's contrary to the word of this hour, it's a lie.
Amanga. Amen.
We'll get into that little bit of that what he says.
So, gena kulowo ilo akushoyo.
Let me get to somewhere.
Ngene ukuthile lapha.
He says,
uthi,
in the message and knoweth it not.
Emlayezweni and knoweth it not.
Paragraph 133. And if the church is your ultimate,
uthi ibandla lakho uma kuyizwi lakho lokugcina.
You don't give a hoot to what anybody says. That's your ultimate. Oh God, help this to sink in.
To
me, the whole thing is wrong.
God's
word is the ultimate. Whatever that word says, then that's right. Amen. Do you believe that the word is the ultimate? Amen. Let me just read you this one before we wrap up. In the message, the anointed ones at the end time. Paragraph 269. Amen. You know, if we all as message believers, if we were to rally around the word, the written word for the hour, there would never be any divisions amongst us. If our point of reference was one, and without our own interpretations, then we were gonna be one. But people are full of ideas. Hallelujah. Let's continue. He says, now I want you to know this for sure. You that listen to this tape. Amen. Maybe let me, before I, you remember when we used to say, when we came into the message, it used to be our killer punch. We used to take the Bible and say to the denomination, if the Bible is one, why do we have so many churches? Do you remember that statement? It was our killer punch. Many years later, I'm asking if the spoken words are the same. Why are there so many churches? It tells you we have replaced something with something.
Amen.
I want you to know this for sure. And you that listen to this tape. You might have thought today I was trying to say something about myself. Being that I was packing this message, I have no more to do with it than anything. No more than just a voice. And my voice, even against my better judgment. I wanted to be a trapper. But it's the will of my father that I declare to do. And determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down on the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things. And foretells these things that happen as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. I was only a voice that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I just surrendered myself to. That he spoke through. It isn't me. It wasn't the son of angel, the seventh angel. It was the manifest of this son of man. It wasn't the angel. It was his message. It was the mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man, it's God. The angel was not the son of man. Brother Branham was not Christ. If you worship Brother Branham,
You
have missed the mark. I will repeat that.
William
Branham was born by Charles and Ella Branham. William Branham died.
William Branham, wow.
But the one that sent William Branham,
William Branham
has got no birthday. Has got no deathbed. William Branham was here to introduce the immortal one.
William Branham,
there was somebody that was sent. Or that sent William Branham. And today we've got to know the one that sent him. I know there's a lot of fanaticism, especially on the continent. I will repeat this. Brother Branham is nothing higher than being a prophet.
Prophet.
And him he must never be worshipped. The one that he introduced must be worshipped. Maybe I can put it on the pastor's level as well. As a pastor, I must never be anything higher than a pastor. And you need not to worship me. You need to worship the one that I preach about. Are we together this evening? If you worship a messenger without seeing the one that sent him, you are like the rest of the unbelievers. But you must know the one that is behind the messenger, and accept the one that is behind the messenger, and worship the one that is behind the messenger. This evening I feel good. Brother Abraham came and left, but the one that sent him, he's still around. He can be worshipped. He's in our midst. Do you recognize the one that is in our midst? Greater than William Branham is here. I will repeat that. Greater than William Branham is here. Greater than Moses is here. Greater than Paul is here. Greater than all of them is here. Greater than Madiba is here. Who is God? Is Christ the hope of glory? Christ is alive. He is in our midst. Do you recognize him? You must find him. You must worship him. Are you here this evening?
Amen. Amen.
This message, it is a manifestation of the Son of Man. It's not a man, it's God. The angel was not the Son of Man. He was the messenger from the Son of Man. Don't you love Brother Branham's sincerity? That he could say, I was only near to him as he does this. It's not me, it's him.
Amen.
Amen. And he said, the Son of Man is Christ. The Son of Man is Christ. A Son of Man is a prophet. But you cannot see the Son of Man without a Son of Man. If you reject a Son of Man, you have rejected the Son of Man. Christ says, Father, those that believe on them that I send would believe in me. If they reject them, they reject me. But you don't worship them. This Son of Man is Christ. He is the one that you are feeding on. This evening you are what you eat. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you eat on this Son of Man, who is the
way?
Oh, he
is.
You become the way. You are not feeding on a man. Man, his way. words will fail. Let every man's word be a lie. But let his word be the truth. We are not feeding on the word of a man. His words, the man's words will fail. But you are feeding on the unfailing body weight of the Son of Man. So our faith this evening is based on the Son of Man. Our faith this evening is based on the resurrected Christ. Let us contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. What does it mean? Anything that is contrary on what we are feeling on, it must be rejected. Hear me out here, brethren. It's easier when you say amen, but it's difficult when you act. There is a pressure in the end time that we've got to let go of principles that we held dearly. Men leave their wives. They want to marry again, and they still want to be accepted in the message even after they have known the truth. Young men and young women, they want to live any kind of life that they want and still be accepted in church. Pastors wants to push their own ideas and still be accepted in church. There is a pressure. But I say, let us contend. And how do you contend? You've got to take a stance. Hallelujah. Are we together?
So,
contending is taking a stance. And how do you contend? You can never contend unless you know what your faith is based on. The problem in the end time, you in the end time, you are more active on smartphones than in the spoken
word.
You know the latest applications. You know the latest whatever cultures that are there. But my question to you, what are the quotations that you know? Do you have the reservoir of the knowledge of the message that you can confront the devil and say, but that's not how the prophet taught it? You can never do that until you know what is in the spoken word. Today, people don't read. They just rely on hearsay. Is your faith based on recycled material? When was the last time you were absorbed in the message? Search the scriptures. What do the scriptures say about this matter? What are the quotations saying about this matter? Believers don't read any time. But let us be like the church of Ephesus. Brother Abraham said it was a studious church. They were reading the scripture. They search the scriptures. And this evening I say, search the scriptures. This evening I say, search the message. If you believe that the rapture is in the message, search the message. The day you see the church reading and getting absorbed in the message, then you will see a dangerous church. Listen, I don't want you just to believe because I preach behind the pulpit. Check whether what I preach is according to the prophet. And if it is not according to the prophet message, rise up and say, my brother, I don't hate you, pastor, but I did not read it like that. Are you here?
Amen.
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 And as a pastor, if I get angry when you ask me,
Then you know
there's a wrong spirit. Because if there's right spirit,
I'll
say, my brother, let's fellowship. I was reading it here and here. And when we fellowship, then we move away, being blessed. But if I say, brother Msizi comes to me and
I
ask me, and I say, young man, where were you when I was baptized? You were not even born. Amen. Then you know there is a problem. There's a corruption in the country now. And when you ask people and say, amen, that tender is, there's corruption. Where were you when we were in Robben Island? I say, believers, read the message. Your eternal destination is based on the message, not on the sentiments of the church. When you do like that, you are sure of victory. Let us contend for this faith during easy times and during an easy time. There will be times where it is difficult, but you've got to know what you have believed in and have convictions and say, this is what I believe in. And my convictions are based on this. And a lot of times before I close, when we were growing up, we were reading and we were asking questions. And that's why we grew. You know why young men don't ask today? There's a lot of things that make noise behind their back. And the devil takes your credibility as a young believer. And if the devil knows your secrets, he will discredit you. If you don't live right, you can't preach the way we preach.
Because
the devil will pick up something behind you and say, ah, people, look what he's doing. Clean living makes you to have convictions. To contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. God bless you richly as we stand. Let's just sing a nice worship, maybe Mighty or Reign King Jesus, Sister Sharon. Oh, there are two Sharons, the other Sharon.
Reign Jesus, reign, Jesus, reign.
My brother, what? You just come.
Jehovah.
Just maybe before he comes, there's just a prayer request from Sister Mbali. I think her two brothers were involved in an accident. One sustained minor injuries. But one is still in the ICU. With a swollen brain. I believe God is a specialist.
Yes.
When a matter is brought before the Almighty God, God is able to do the miraculous. Amen. So that's why we say, let us remember them in prayer. And our brother will remember them as he comes. Let's just sing it.
Jehovah is your name.
Associated for that mighty warrior, O Lord. Father God, we come before you and we say thank you, O Lord. Father God, you came, O Lord, and you, Father God, just came and you fine-tuned us a bit tonight, O God. Father God, you came and you spoke to us, O God. Heavenly Father God, and O Lord, in this dark and uncertain time, O God, Father God, there's one certainty, O Lord, and that is that Jesus Christ is the light, O God, that your word, O God, is all that is and all that we need tonight, O God. Father God, as you lift us up, O God, Father God, it is clear that you are preparing us, O God, for the great showdown, O Lord. Heavenly Father, and we say thank you, O God. Father God, tonight, O God, as we remember our precious sisters, brothers, O God. Father God, and tonight, O God, there's one certainty, O God.
Thank you, Father.
Father God, that you said, O God, in your word, O God, by your stripes we are healed, O God. Father God, and tonight we come and we claim that promise, O God.
Yes.
Father God, you said it 2,000 years ago, O God, and yet it is still relevant to us today, O God. Father God, and we come and we thank you, O God, for our sisters, brothers, healings tonight, O God. Father God, for Lord, we know, O God, that you are alive, O God. Father God, for O God, it is clear, O Lord. Father, because if it had not been so, O God, where would we have been tonight, O God? What would have become of us, O God? Heavenly Father God, and we thank you tonight, O God. Father God, tonight, O Lord, we come, O God, as you said, O God. Father God, that we should, Father God, be Father God, that we should ask, O God, knowing that we already received, O God. Father God, and therefore we come and we say thank you for their healing tonight, O God. Father God, and we are grateful, O God, for you. Father God, we are grateful, O God, that we could stand here tonight, O God. Father God, as you encourage us, O God, to earnestly contest for this faith, O God. Father God, because, O God, we are looking forward, O God, to the day that we walk into the promised land, O God. We say thank you now, Lord. Father, we thank you for our pastor, O God, that stood in the gap, O Lord. Father God, that you would, O Lord, restore the virtue that left him tonight, O God. Father God, and we pray, O God, for each and every one, O Lord, as we go to our different homes tonight, O God. Father God, that we'll be encouraged, O God.
Thank you,
Father God, that we'll be uplifted, O God, to continually contest for this fate, O God. Father God, because, O Lord, we look forward to seeing you in that great and mighty day, O God. We say thank you now, Lord, Father, as we pray now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. God bless you.
I had a good taste in my mouth the day Jesus saved me. So everything changed. It even changed the way I tasted things.
Amen.
It tasted things.
Yeah. Sam, let us work.
Is it fine?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Ek het 'n lekker smaakie hier binne in my hartie. Toe die Here my siel kom red het, toe kry ek 'n lekker smaak. Ek het 'n lekker smaak hier binne in my hartie. To the air of my seal, come ready to create a liquor smile. To the air of my seal, come ready. To the air of my seal, come ready. To the air of my seal, come ready to create a liquor smile. Ek het 'n lekker smaak hier binne in my hart. To die Here my siel kom red, ek 'n lekker smaak. Ek het 'n lekker smaak hier binne in my hart. To die Here my siel kom red, ek 'n lekker smaak. To die Here my siel.
You don't sing an African song without running.
It's
got to be some running. We are very much thankful. Hey, Brother Fanny. Yeah, he was there. I think we touched it. We pressed the right button. God bless you till we meet on Sunday. Have a blessed week. Sunday 9 o'clock we are here.
Amen.
Any song that is in your heart, sisters? Masuma knows another African's one. What is that? the one that is in your heart. Yeah, give him a mic. Let him play for him. Vandaag is the African snack. Yeah. Maybe tell us what it is first.
All right. I'll sing a. Let's just sing a short phrase. Hier wel ek nie blij nie, want hier is niks vir my. Hallelujah. Want Yemen is my morning and Jesus is my corner. We'll just sing that phrase. Hallelujah.
Ek denk Yemen is an African. God bless.
Hier wel ek nie blij nie, want hier is niks vir my nie. Die Yemen is my corner en Jesus is my corner.
Hier wel ek nie blij nie.
Hier wel ek nie blij nie.